Welcome to Grace Believers Bible Study. Will you turn in your Bible with me this morning to Galatians chapter 2? I'm glad you're watching today. I'd like to recommend to you that if you don't have a Bible handy, that you got a pencil and a piece of paper and write down the scripture references. I would appreciate you writing these references down and study them for yourself. Read the verses and see what the Word of God says. Now, we've been talking about the cross, the preaching of the cross. Paul said the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. And we've been discussing that the preaching of the cross has to do with preaching the real truth about the reason why Jesus Christ died on a cross. Why wouldn't it have been all right for him just to die anywhere under any circumstances? What is the need for Jesus Christ to die on a cross? Well, the cross represents something that is bad, and Jesus Christ, while he hung on the cross, represented something that's bad, and that something that is bad is you and me. Jesus Christ represented a criminal, and we that are born by nature in Adam, we are criminals by nature, and our crimes are against God. And so Jesus Christ went to a cross in our stead. Jesus Christ died in our stead. We're the ones that deserve to die. We're the bad guys. But Jesus Christ became bad for us. He became sin for us that we could be made the righteousness of God in him by faith in what he did at Calvary. So we're talking about the preaching of the cross. This morning I want you to compare with me. Peter's preaching of the cross as compared to Paul's preaching of the cross. Will you read with me in Galatians chapter 2? In Galatians chapter 2 verse 1, then 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also, and I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. So Paul goes to Jerusalem, and when he goes there, he goes, as in Acts chapter 15, he goes to a council meeting there. Some of the Judaizers had gone to the people that Paul had preached to and told those people, except you be circumcised and keep the law of Moses, you cannot be saved. And so Paul went up to Jerusalem to contend with them about this issue. And he said, I went up by revelation. In other words, God revealed unto him that he ought to go up there and contend with them. And he said, I communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which are of reputation. In other words, Paul didn't just go up there and preach to all Jerusalem the gospel that he preaches among the Gentiles. He went up there and preached to the 12 apostles. He went up there and preached to those that were intimate, those that knew the Lord and whatever. And notice that he couldn't have known the gospel from them. He wouldn't have got the gospel from them. If he'd got the gospel from them, why would he have communicated unto them that gospel which he preached among the Gentiles? Now, we're going to go back to Galatians 2 in a second. Go to chapter 1 and look in verse 11. In Galatians 1:11, he said, But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which is preached to me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. And he shows you how that's practical. He shows you how that it's a practical thing for him to say that. Why? Why, in verse 13, for you have heard of my conversation in times past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, on and on and on. The point being that he was persecuting those that believed in the Lord. Paul, or Saul, was persecuting and bringing into judgment, and in some cases putting to death, those that had repented and been baptized according to Peter's message in Acts chapter 2. So they certainly wouldn't have given this gospel message unto him. He received it not from them. He received it directly by revelation from the Lord. Now get the picture. Peter received his message from the Lord. Paul received his message from the Lord. If God Almighty called Paul to do the same job that he called Peter, could he not trust Peter to teach the message unto Paul? Why, Peter met Paul in Jerusalem before this event here. According to Galatians chapter 1, according to Acts chapter 9, Paul went back to Jerusalem, and while he was there, he met Peter, and he met James, the brother of the Lord. But they didn't tell him this gospel message. They didn't explain to him this gospel message. He said, I received it not from men. I received it from the Lord, by revelation from the Lord. So the question in my mind is then, if they're both preaching the same thing, why wouldn't God Almighty have allowed Peter to preach Paul this gospel message when he went back there, as in Acts chapter 9? Obviously, they didn't have the same gospel message. And so Paul went up to Jerusalem in Acts chapter 15 and communicated unto them this gospel that he preached among the Gentiles. Now turn to verse 7. Look in Galatians chapter 2, verse 7. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. Verse 9. When James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me. In other words, Paul was given the grace to go to the Gentiles. Now it is very important that you see this. Paul was given the grace to go to the Gentiles. Why would he need grace to go to the Gentiles? God didn't have to give Peter the grace to go to the Jews. Why, I mean, Peter was a Jew, and he believed like the Jews, he ate like them, he lived like them. There was no problem with Peter to go to the Jews, but God had to give Paul the grace to go to Gentiles. Why is that? The word grace is simply unmerited favor. In other words, God had to give Paul favor among the Gentiles for him to go unto them. Notice, hold on there, and go back to Acts, and look in Acts chapter 22. In Acts chapter 22, Paul, late in his ministry, in the book of Acts, has gone to Jerusalem. He is in the temple, worshiping, and they arrested him. And they brought him out of there, and he speaks unto them. He speaks to the Israelites there, and he begins to give them a word of testimony. And look what he said unto them. Verse 17, he said, it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, back there early, about Acts chapter 11 and 12, along in there, when I was come again unto Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance and saw him saying unto me, make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. And I said, Lord, they know that I am imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. In other words, he wants them to hear what his attitude was at that time. At that time, before he got saved, he was against the Lord. He was against the message of the Lord that Peter and James and John had. He was opposed to that. He was persecuting them and was instrumental in the death of Stephen himself in Acts chapter 7 and 8. Now, verse 21. And he said unto them, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. He said, while I was in the temple praying there, the Lord appeared unto me, and the Lord said, leave here, go out of here, get away from here. I'm going to send you far hence unto the Gentiles. In other words, your ministry is not here among these Jews. Your ministry is out there among the Gentiles. And he said, I will send you far hence unto the Gentiles. Paul's testimony here is in the Hebrew language. What he said was in Hebrew. He's speaking in Hebrew in verse 21. He said unto me, depart, I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. He used a term there, the word Gentile, in Hebrew. And when he used that word, it set them off. Look what they did. Verse 22, and they gave him audience unto this word. They listened to him until he used that word Gentile. As the very second he used that word, it was like dynamite exploding. It set them off. Verse 22, they gave him audience under this word, and then lifted up their voices and said, "Away with such a fellow from the earth. It is not fit that he should live." And they cried out and cast off their clothes and threw dust into the air. That is clear to the Bible believer. Paul, speaking to them in the Hebrew tongue, said, "The Lord appeared unto me in a trance and said, I'm going to send you to the Gentiles," and they couldn't tolerate that. Why? Why, the Bible said in Genesis chapter 12, God spoke unto Abraham, and he said, "Abraham, I'll bless you, and I'll bless your seed after you. I'll bless them that bless you, and I'll curse them that curse you." And here is a man, Paul, telling those people that God was going to send him to bless those that had been cursing Israel, and they couldn't tolerate that. And so they said, "Away with this man. Isn't all right for this man to live?" And they cast off their clothes, and they threw dust in the earth. They're angry. Now, with that in mind, go back to Galatians. I look in Galatians chapter 2 again. Verse 9. "And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me." In other words, they saw that Paul was given a special grace, not just the message of grace, but he was given grace himself to go unto people that he would have hated in the past. As a devout, pious Jew, no way would he have gone to a Gentile. As a devout, pious Jew, he would have been ready to kill them. He knew that God said, "I'll curse them that curse you." And yet, God was sending him to those very people. And he had to give him grace, a special favor for him to go and do the job. And Peter, James, and John saw that. Now, Peter didn't have it in Acts 10. Turn back there and see. In Acts chapter 10, he is called by the Lord to go to the house of Cornelius. Cornelius is a Gentile that feared God and worked righteousness. But Peter didn't even want to go into his house. The Lord appeared unto Cornelius and said, "Send for Peter and call for him to come to your house, and he will preach unto you." And Peter finally did so, finally went, and when he gets into Cornelius' house, look what he says, verse 28, Acts 10, verse 28. "And he said unto them, You know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation." Now, isn't that something? Now, listen to me. Peter had been given the great commission of Matthew 28. In Matthew 28, the Lord had said unto him, "Go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost." And in spite of that, he didn't want to go to Cornelius' house. And when he went in there, he said, "It's an unlawful thing for a man that's a Jew to keep company or come into one of another nation." He had received the commission of Mark 16. In Mark 16, the Lord had said unto him, "Go and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." But in spite of that admonition, this man walked into a Gentile's house, and what did he say? He didn't say, "I see by the great commission of Matthew 28, Mark 16, that it's fine for me to be here and I'm supposed to be here." Oh, no. He didn't say, "God's given me the grace to come unto you." No. He said, "It's an unlawful thing for a man that's a Jew to keep company or come into one of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean." How did he show him? He sure didn't show him in Matthew 28 and Mark 16. He showed him by letting that sheep down from heaven with all those four-footed beast and creeping things and whatever in there. And he said, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." He said, "Not so, Lord. Nothing common or unclean ever passed through my lips." And this happened three times. And then the thing was taken up. And what did Peter learn by that? He said to Cornelius, "I found out that I'm not to call any man common or unclean." There's an absolute, total, 180-degree difference in Peter's attitude toward the Gentile and Paul's attitude toward the Gentile, and this is clear to a Bible believer. It is never clear to a denominationalist. It is never clear to a man that's preaching his denominational system's doctrine and trying to make a living doing it. It's clear to any Bible believer. If he believes the Bible and believes it means exactly what it says, as it says it, where it says it, he has to see that the attitude of Peter toward the Gentiles is totally different than the attitude of Paul. And why is that true? Because Christ had given Paul special grace that he might not hate those that hated him any longer, that he might love those that in the past had hated him and cursed him and still did so. Now go back to Galatians chapter 2. In Galatians chapter 2 verse 9, and when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. Now it's clear. In Acts chapter 15, they made a contract between themselves. They shook hands in an agreement. What is that agreement? Peter, James, and John are not to go to the Gentiles. Peter, James, and John are not to carry out the Great Commission. Paul is going to the Gentiles. When they saw the grace that was given unto Paul, they gave him the right hand of fellowship, that he should go unto the heathen, that he should go to the uncircumcision, but they unto Israel. Well, how do I know that that's an annihilation of the Great Commission? Because in the Great Commission, Matthew 28, he said, go and teach all nations. Well, they're not going to carry that out. They agreed with Paul. They're not going to carry it out. They're not going and try to teach all nations. How do I know that? They agreed with Paul that they were going only to the Jew. If they're going to continue to carry out the Great Commission after Acts chapter 15, they're lying, beloved. Peter, James, and John are lying like a dog. If they're shaking hands with Paul in an agreement that they're not going to the heathen anymore, only to the Jew, and yet turn around and go to the heathen and the Jew, but they wouldn't have wanted to go to the heathen anyway. Why? They don't have the grace to do it. They couldn't have had the grace to do that unless God gave them that grace. And so they shook hands in an agreement that they're not going to do this anymore. The Lord had said unto them in Mark 16, as he stood there in the room where they ate, they stood in his very presence. And he said, go and preach the gospel to every creature. They aren't going to do that anymore. Why? They've made an agreement. Because they saw that God had given Paul the grace to go to the heathen. They didn't have it. They weren't Gentile lovers. Peter said, it's an unlawful thing for a man that's a Jew to keep coming and coming to one of another nation. But God has shown me that I'm not to call one common unclean. And then he said unto Cornelius, I see that God is no longer a respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth God and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. But that isn't Paul's attitude. What is Paul's attitude? God gave him the grace to go to the Gentile, and he's told them in Titus chapter 3, not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to his mercy he saved us. He said in Titus chapter 2, the grace of God, the special favor of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Now, you have to think about this a minute. Why then would Matthew 28 and Mark 16 tell Peter, James, and John that they're to go to the heathen and them not want to go? Why would they not have the grace to go? Because it had an order to it. In Acts chapter 1, the Lord said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, first in Jerusalem, then in Judea, then in Samaria, and then under the uttermost parts of the earth. They knew that they were not to go to the Gentile until Israel got saved. They knew that. The Lord had taught them that. Well, he taught them that by word of mouth, but he taught them that by example. Think about it. When Jesus Christ sent them out, he said, go not in the way of the Gentiles. Go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, say, and repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That message was to Israel. It wasn't to the Gentiles. It was to the Jew, not the Gentile. And so the Lord told them, go and teach this message to all nations. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But what's the order you're to do it? Go first in Jerusalem. Why is this? They had heard Jesus Christ give an example. A Gentile woman came unto him, and she said, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Please come and heal her. But he ignored that woman. He wouldn't do anything about that. He just turned his back on her. She's a Gentile woman. He wasn't paying attention to her. He did not hear her prayer. And so the apostles came to her and they said, Lord, send this woman away from us. She's bothering us. You know something, folks? It is absolutely obvious that if that be true of them, if they send the woman away, she's bothering us, then obviously they were not willing to go to that same kind of person. And so Jesus Christ turned to that woman and he said, it's not right to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. He called her a dog. And she said, true, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. And after she accepted that position, after she accepted the position that if she's to receive anything from God, she's to receive that as she is subjected unto the nation Israel. In other words, she blessed the seed of Abraham. She blessed Israel. God said unto Israel, Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel, he said, I'll bless them that bless you, and I'll curse them that curse you. She blessed Israel. She blessed the seed of Abraham, and the Lord blessed her. So what's the idea then? The idea that Peter, James, and John were to start in Jerusalem. They were to go first unto Israel. Jesus Christ said unto that Syrophoenician woman, the children must first be fed. All right, they're to preach first in Jerusalem to the children. They're called the children of God. He selected them. He called them out of Egypt and he redeemed them. He redeemed them unto himself. They're his. And he said the children must first be fed. The children of Israel. The bread is not to be cast at all. What is the bread? It's Israel's bread, which has to do with the gospel of the kingdom. The good news of the kingdom is their bread. It's that which would make them fat. It's that which would supply their need. It is not to be cast out to the dogs. Jesus Christ clearly explained to them in Matthew chapter 7, read the thing. And he said, cast not your pearls before swine. And give not that which is holy, the gospel of the kingdom. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs. Who are the dogs? They're Gentiles. So by example, Jesus Christ taught the apostles over and over and over. You're not to go to the Gentiles until Israel is saved. And so he said, go first in Jerusalem. The idea is you preach this good news of the kingdom unto Israel and they repent in Jerusalem. Then unto Judea. Judea would be the two tribes of Benjamin and Judah. So you're to go to Benjamin and Judah. They repent. And then Samaria. Samaria had to do with the 10 tribes. If I put on the board up here, and I make a simple little chart and say that right here is the Mediterranean Sea, the Sea of Galilee, the Jordan River, and the Dead Sea. And if I put an imaginary line across here, down here is Judea. Up here is Samaria. And right in there would be Jerusalem. Jerusalem would be in Judea. All right? They're to start first in Jerusalem. Who would they preach to in Jerusalem? Acts chapter 2. They preached unto Israel. Peter said, let the house of Israel know assuredly. He said, you men of Judea, you that dwell at Jerusalem. Who would that be? Would be Israelites. He said, hear this message. and he preached unto them there. The idea was that they would repent. And then when they repented, he would turn to the others outside of Jerusalem in Judea. Who would that be? Benjamin and Judah. And so when Benjamin and Judah repented, then all of them would turn to the so-called lost tribes. They would turn to the 10 tribes that had gone away with Jeroboam in the Old Testament scripture. Jeroboam had led them up into this territory here and set up his golden calves and said, you're to worship here. You're not to go back to Jerusalem anymore. He split the kingdom. And so they were to go up to Samaria. They were to go under the 10 tribes. The 10 tribes repent. All Israel would be saved. And when all Israel was saved, and only then, they were to go to the nations of this world. Then they could go out to the rest of the world. Go first in Jerusalem, then in Judea, then in Samaria, and then unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And they knew that. And so when Peter was called upon to go to Cornelius' house, he rebelled. Why? The children had not been fed. Jerusalem had not repented. Judea had not repented. And on and on. Therefore, it was against his Lord's words to him. It was against the teaching of the Lord to him to go to the Gentiles. And he said, it's an unlawful thing for a man that's a Jew to keep company or coming to one of another nation. But not so with Paul. That great commission, as they call it, was never given to Paul. Those examples were never taught to Paul. Paul didn't know anything about that. Paul wasn't saved until Acts chapter 9. And when God saved him in Acts chapter 9, he saved him and called him to go unto the Gentiles and gave him the grace. Some special favor that God Almighty instilled in him so that he could love them that the Lord loved and died for. That includes you. That is amazing to me. It's marvelous. In Romans through Philemon, God Almighty has divided out a section of books that are written by this famous apostle. And in those epistles, he's put in there the truth to you. What is that? That Jesus Christ died for your sins. Peter didn't know that in Acts chapter 10. Peter didn't know that in Acts 2 through 4, 5, 6, 7. He didn't know that until he went up to Jerusalem in Acts 15 and heard Paul preach it. God loved you and gave his son for you, and Christ died for you according to the Apostle Paul and was buried and rose again, and you can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and he will save you today. Will you trust him right now? Thank you for listening. Until next time, good day.